Turn your Bibles to Psalm 1. I've been having notes on what I'm going to talk about in my notebook that I keep for sermons for quite some time. And when I was looking through that again, the Lord directed me to what we're going to look at tonight. And we're going to find the first reference in Psalm 1. What I'm going to do, Lord willing, on the next few Wednesday nights, starting with this one, is we are going to start looking in Psalms and Proverbs at verses that contain the word blessed as it pertains to you. There are verses in there that talk about the Lord, blessed be the Lord, but blessed people. What does that entail? Now, we're going to, for simplicity, we're going to handle this chronologically. Anne's in the nursery, so I will tell you how she would say it. She would say, I'm going to handle this chronologically. We're just going to take them as they appear, and the first time you read about this, word blessed is in Psalm 1. Notice verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. First time we find in Psalms and Proverbs a reference to a man being blessed, we find blessed is the man who, listen, delights in the law of the Lord. Who delights in the law of the Lord. You see, this person who is blessed because he loves the Word of God. And I remember early on, after thinking that I had some sort of relationship with Christ, I didn't spend any time in the book. As a result, I missed all the blessings that come from delighting in the law of the Lord. When I was 32 years old, and I picked this book up and began to read it, I have read it ever since. And I have found something to be true, as many of you have. We are blessed when we delight in the law of the Lord. He says here, not only does this man delight in the law of the Lord, but he meditates in it day and night. In other words, he doesn't just spend a little time to read it, put it down, and go on about the rest of the day. What he has read, what she has read, mulls over in the mind and in the heart. And there's a blessing in that. Why? Because this way, the Word of God now directs your steps and directs your life according to the will of God. And when you are in the book, the Holy Spirit then can bring back to your mind and memory things that God said in His words, and you will go the way that God wants you to go, and you will go the way that God wants you to go when He wants you to go and at the pace He wants you to go. And it's all governed by what's here. Notice verse 1, that the man who delights in the law of the Lord does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because he recognizes that the counsel of the ungodly is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And so he makes a choice. This is popular. This counsel of the ungodly is popular in the world. They say we ought to go that way, and most people are following that way. I'm going to go with the law of the Lord. I'll give you a perfect example. The Bible tells us that the rod and reproof give wisdom. And the rod is an important part of child rearing when handled biblically and appropriately. The world says this is not the way to raise children. The counsel of the ungodly says you need to do it a different way. And you know what you end up with? Ungodly children. He says this blessed man will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He won't stand in the way of sinners. The way of sinners is a broad way, and it has a rushing effect away from God, and it's contrary to the paths of righteousness, to the way of righteousness. I think about standing in the way of sinners like standing on a railroad track with an oncoming train. You're going to get run over. And the man who delights in the law of the Lord recognizes, I cannot stand in that way or I'm going to get caught up in the drift. It's going to take me away. Anytime you stand in the way of sinners, you're going to end up going in the way of sinners. You have to stand away from the way of sinners. You have to stand in the way of God. And finally, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful disdain the words of God. That's their attitude. They look at this book and they're like, oh, that's an old book, or oh, that book was, and then they come up with some critical statement that excuses them from reading the words that are here. You know, when I was in Africa, I was talking to various church members, and one of the members that I was talking to there told me a story about their student in school. The student had to take a particular class, so I think this is one of those, you know, required basics that you have to take when you're in college. The student was in this particular class, and what this was like a social indoctrination class. And so the student had to write a paper about a particular topic that was assigned, and the professor obviously was looking to the students to regurgitate the social indoctrination. And the child came home and, you know, this is an older child. What do you want me to do? And the dad said, I want you to answer according to how you view that. He said, well, I view that biblically and my answer is going to get me a failing grade. And dad smiled and said, if you get a failing grade for answering the truth, in good graces with the teacher, but you're sure going to be in good graces with your dad. I said, what'd your child do? He said he wrote the truth, and he got the F, but he got a good compliment from his papa. You know, the blessing of delighting in God's words in a society that is contrary to God's words is that you don't end up reaping what society reaps by the counsel of the ungodly and the way of sinners and the seat of the scornful. What do you reap? Verse 3 says, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Well, we saw a lot of those while we were in Reunion Island. Let me tell you, there are lots of streams that flow. It is lush. And you know, a tree that grows by the rivers of waters is never in a lack for moisture like so much of our country is right now while we wait for the rain. What does that tree do? It brings forth fruit in its season. What does that tree do? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know what? In my life, I want the blessing of the Lord to be fruitful and to prosper in whatsoever I do. And you know, he said, whatsoever he does, he's going to prosper. You know why that's so? Because he, and I keep saying he, but you understand this applies to men and women. The reason is what he's doing is consistent with the counsel he's drawing and the wisdom he's drawing from the Word of God. And the Lord told Joshua, you spend time in that book and you meditate in that book, you'll have success and you will prosper. Because the thing you're doing is what God wants you to do. You're being conditioned to it by the very words that you're reading in the book. And there's a great blessing in that. He brings forth fruit in his season. Now I'm sitting here listening to Brother Comer, and I lied about his age. He really is He doesn't look older. Well, he does look old, but it goes with the territory, right? That's that maturity. Be dogmatic. But the neat thing about it is you're still bearing fruit. And the Bible said you would bear fruit in old age. I love that. And he's going to drive down to Mexico. And I believe when he goes down there to celebrate that anniversary there with that church, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a good thing. Now I have in my notes four verses to look at. But I'm going to stop with that one. You've heard a good exhortation from our brother who's heading to Mexico tomorrow. You've heard some great praises and reports from the missionaries. And I told Ann one time, she got frustrated teaching the fourth through sixth grade years ago. She said, I'll go through and I'll give them 4 points. And then the next week we all get back together again and I do a review and it's like they weren't even in class the Sunday before. And you know what I told her? I said, 1 point remembered is better than 4 points forgotten. So we're going to stop with one tonight. How about that? Father, thank you for what you've given us in the Word of God. It is truly a blessing to get into this book and to love it and to delight in it and to meditate upon it and then to follow what it says. You bless men and women who do that because this is your book and your book guides us into a fruitful life and a prosperous life that's pleasing to you. Thank God you picked us up along the way, Heavenly Father, when we were in the way of sinners, when we were in the counsel of the ungodly, when we did sit in the seat of the scornful. I did. But you rescued us from that. You took that away from us and gave us a much better way and much better counsel and a much better seat. Now that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we rejoice tonight, Father. We are blessed abundantly because of your words, and we're so thankful. I pray you'll continue to bless, Father, and if there's somebody here tonight that has been neglecting his Bible or her Bible, I pray the brief exhortation tonight will encourage them that tonight, tomorrow morning, need to get back in the book and delight in these words, meditate in these words, and follow what they said, and see the blessings that come from men and women who delight in the words of God, in the law of the Lord. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.